right, Stadium Drive. We're back for episode 5, and Wyatt, we have a really awesome guest here with us today, Jazz Massengill from Florida State Women's Hoops, the transfer from Kentucky, and our stud point guard. So without further ado, Jazz, what's up?
What's up? How y'all doing?
This is the interview I've been most excited about, no doubt. This is the first person on the list I want to interview when we start this show, no doubt.
No, I was glad when Steve told me. I was definitely interested.
Yeah, no, it's so true. We were like, we got to get women's hoops, and both of us were like, Jazz.
Number one.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. Well, first, I kind of want to know, like, how did you end up picking Florida State? You came from the SEC where you guys just won a championship. I'm sure you had a ton of schools as options. So how did you land Florida State, and what was the transfer portal like?
The transfer portal, I was a little bit nervous the first time because the second time because I already entered one more time. But it was just a different experience. Doing that, you kind of already know what you want, kind of looking for, like, what you want in the school. Because, you know, you're a freshman, you're coming in, you just, like, what everybody's telling you, like, oh, okay, this school looks good. But, like, the last year, it's kind of like you already know what you want, what you're looking for, what you want to get out of it. So that's what kind of what landed me at Florida State. Just a great family atmosphere. I was only talking to one other school besides Florida State. I just wanted limited options very quickly so I wouldn't be stressed out because, you know, I really wasn't hooping at the time, so I just wanted to be comfortable. I was still trying to graduate. So, I mean, it was crazy. Like, the experience is just crazy, and really the family atmosphere and the coaches and what they could do for me outside of basketball is really what landed me in.
And how much of that family atmosphere comes from the woman at the top, Coach Wyckoff? Like, how was that relationship, and how has it developed since maybe the first time she reached out to now? She's had some amazing things to say about you in previous calls coming up leading up to games. You're the best floor leader she's ever coached. Those are the things that I've heard. So just what's the relationship like with Coach Wyckoff?
Me and Coach Brooke are so close. Like, it's actually crazy. It's just different because she cares for me outside of basketball. We talk about life outside of basketball a lot, like my personal life. So I feel like us building that relationship was just amazing. Like, I've never really played for a coach besides my high school coach. I was just really, really close with. So that helps me on the court because I can trust her. And that's really my biggest asset, really being able to trust a coach. So I love her to death. She's one of the greatest coaches I've ever played for. And I love her, honestly.
That is so awesome. And you can tell you guys are close just from seeing it on the sidelines. And also, you know, how does maybe your relationship with her affect your ability to come in and be a leader for this team?
And she gives me all the confidence that I need. And sometimes that's what I struggle with. And she lets me know, like, Jazz, you're a great player. You're a great leader. Because I'm very hard on myself. So just her instilling that confidence in me makes me want to be a better player. And it, like, helps me be a better player at that.
So one of my questions, this is it's a different team. There's a lot of transfers, a lot of new faces of the program, and then everyone that is still here from last season are the younger players that are sophomores or freshmen that are brand new to the team. And just you've been able to have an influence on all of them. But I had to ask you some questions about Tania Latson. Have you ever played with a freshman that's been this good this early? And, like, why is she such a special player?
Stud.
T's just T.
I told you she was going to say that, Wyatt.
She's just T.
It's just T, man. Like, just her energy, just her effort, her working hard. And just, she's just come in ready to work. She's very humble. Even with the stats that she put up, she's very humble. She's very willing to work. And no, I've never played with a freshman like her. I would say the closest I've ever played was Jada Walker, because Jada Walker was a great player for Kentucky, and she really did influence a lot. But as far as stat lines and just the type of player, how athletic she is, T got it. Tania got it.
That's dope. And also, you got it, okay? So you have been so effective on offense for us. And also, you're kind of emerging as a three-point shooter. I kind of want to know, like, does Ferrara have anything to do with that? You know, what is it about your game that is improving since coming to Florida State?
Yeah, Coach Bill is definitely, he's put instilled that in me. But Coach Carter, that's the one who's worked with me the most. Okay. You know, we have built the relationship outside of basketball, but as far as, like, drills and just feeding into me with that, Coach Carter, just, like, footwork, form, all of that, that's who got me to where I am, honestly.
Yeah, and how fun is it playing in this style of offense? It feels like everybody can create their own shot, everybody can pass it, everybody can shoot it. There's just so much motion for somebody that is a floor general, someone who likes to dish the rock, like, how fun is it playing in such a fast-paced offense?
I feel like it's every player's dream, honestly. Like, everybody has the green light. Everybody can do what they do. She allow us to be our unique selves. She said we're the best team when we do what we do to our best. Like, she loves us. Like, she loves the way we play. She loves everything about the offense, and I love everything about the offense. She just instills so much confidence in all of her players that you can't do no wrong, really. Like, the only thing you cannot do is go out there and not be yourself. That's what she instills the most. So I love it. The green light, everybody got the green light. You can tell by how many threes we shoot. I mean, their first thing they say is just go to the rim. If you're not going to the rim, if you're not being aggressive, that's what you're doing wrong. That's the only thing you can do wrong.
Seminoles averaging over 80 points a game. But Jazz, also, I want to talk to you a little bit just about you. I know you're yadded up, so me and Wyatt kind of want to just get into a little bit of that. We're going to just rattle off some questions for you, if that's cool with you.
That's fine. That's fine.
Wyatt, you can lead us off.
Okay. Well, easy question. First tattoo, what was it? How old were you? What was your first tat?
I was 18, and it was this one right here. The clock and the rose and time waits for no one. That's my first one.
Is there a specific time on the clock, or is it just straight up a clock? Like, is there like
it's just a clock with no time. No time.
And so how many do you have? And do you only go to someone specific every time, or do you kind of just let it rip?
All right. The count, I honestly have no clue. One day I will sit and count all of them, but after 7 or 8, I kind of just stop counting. And when I was in Knoxville, I only went to one person. When I was in Lexington, I only went to one person. And now I'm in Tally, and I only go to one person. So I look at everybody's work because I'm real, like, specific. Like, you can't mess me up. So once I find one person, I continuously go to that person in that city.
Loyal. We respect that.
Who's your person in Tallahassee?
Her name is Taylor. Her Instagram is, like, Freebands, Inc. That's the only person I have allowed to tattoo me. Tallahassee.
We'll pull that up. We'll pull her up. We'll give her a shout out.
All right.
What tat, if multiple, have you gotten in Tallahassee? Where's Taylor's work? Can we see it?
Okay, Taylor's work. Okay, here's one. I went twice, so here's one right here.
Oh,
I don't
sick.
Know if you can see it. Let me see.
Oh, it's
pull it over to the Here you go. It's right here. That's right there. And I have one on my stomach right here. Let me see. It's one on my stomach right here.
Oh.
Yeah. Those are the only two she's done so far.
Nice. Now, do you have any that kind of represent you as a basketball player and your accomplishments there?
I got the state of Tennessee right here.
Oh.
I don't know if you can see it right there. I got 423 on the back, my area code. And I would say my mom's name is right here.
Nice.
It's a heartbeat with a heart right there.
That's awesome.
I love that.
What was the most painful tattoo? I mean, like, what was the worst one to get?
The one on my ribs. So I got 2000 on my ribs because I'm a 2000s baby. But I did it the same day that I got a leg sleeve. So my body was like, what are you doing?
Like a week.
Yeah, so I probably should have did that. I'll never do that again. Do two tattoos at once, but yeah, my body was like, stop, stop. So the ribs is definitely the most painful.
Real talk, I thought you were going to say the neck. So can you just tell me how that experience was?
Okay, so the side where your jugular is, that one, that's the worst.
Near death.
The middle, you don't really feel it. I'm not going to lie, the middle is nothing, but the jugular and stuff.
Forget it.
I wouldn't do it again. I won't do it again. If some tattoos, I'm like, all right, did it once, it won't see me again.
My last question about the tattoos, do you ever, like, draw it out yourself? Are you someone that likes to draw out, like, an idea that you have? Or do you kind of go to the artist and just talk things through with them about something you have and they draw it out for you? Have you ever, like, gone with, like, a design yourself?
See, I look at designs online and kind of put my own twist to it, or I'll give it to them and say, something similar, but something also very different, because I don't like having the same tattoos. And it's one artist I let freehand on me, It was this tattoo. I let her free. It's a blind angel.
Oh, cool.
So she freehanded that one. But yeah, usually it's like 50-50, or I'll just be like, throw an idea and they'll, you know, because I'm not artistic like that. I don't do the whole artsy stuff.
My last question is, when you come in this year and win an ACC title, what's that tat going to look like?
I don't know. I got to think about that one.
All right, that's okay. We'll check back in.
Just have an answer next time and we'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm going to let y'all know.
So speaking of conference championships, Jazz, I want to take it back to basketball a little bit. You obviously won the SEC championship last year. You had the game-winning assist to your teammate, Dreanna Edwards. You defended the last play, the heave at half court, win the SEC title, knock off number one team in the country, and the team that's probably been the standard in college basketball the last several years under Don Staley. How important is it for you as one of the leaders on this team to get your new teammates at Florida State an opportunity to play in that game, in the ACC title game? How badly do you want them to experience that?
Yeah, it's very important to me. I preach teamwork all the time because that's what it really came down to. Every team is good. Every team is great. It's all about teamwork and how well y'all gel and how well y'all fight for each other. So that's what I'm kind of trying to instill. And we've been doing great with the teamwork aspect on and off the court, really trying to build those relationships. But it really comes down to teamwork. So we're just building that foundation now.
And obviously, you've got some big games coming up. 10 days from now, you'll be facing UConn, and then you'll be going into ACC play. So, you know, how has that gel been developing with you guys, and are you ready to take on these teams?
Yes, we're just taking it, you know, one game at a time. One game prevents it, you know, a different challenge. But we are looking forward to those big games, and right now we are preparing towards those big games, having different hiccups in the small games and things that we have to clean up and things that we can't do against really good teams like that. So we've really been preparing, and I honestly can't wait. The team's ready for whoever we have to face. So
last time we played UConn at Florida State, it came down to the buzzer.
Really?
What is your expectations for that game on the road?
I didn't know that. I never
knew. Oh yeah.
But you know, you don't really want to go to the buzzer beaters when it comes to teams like that. You have to kind of try to build that lead, you know, to begin with, on playing steady to begin with. I mean, the game won't be perfect. They'll go on their runs. We'll go on our runs. But if we can't prevent having to, you know, do a buzzer beater, that we'll try to prevent it.
Prevent the buzzer beater.
You never know with those type of shots.
I'm super interested to see, you know, how the team can handle the pressure. Tania too, like, you know, that'll be her premier match really coming into her college career. So how are you going to kind of take her under your wing for that? Because obviously you're no stranger to these big games, but that's going to be one for her that's going to be something for sure.
Like freshman jitters, that's probably all it'll be. Just telling her, you know, like, just play. Just do what you do. You've been doing it all season, no matter the opponent. Number one in the country, number two, number three, it doesn't matter. Like, you're a great player. So just trying to get her, you know, to settle those nerves and let her know, like, she does have help. We are here if she needs anything. You know, we play alongside of her just like she plays alongside of us. So just kind of calming those freshman jitters would be big.
Yeah, and it's not just Tania, too. You know, you've got 10 players, 9 aside from you, that can all play basketball. So what is your hope, you know, going into these tougher opponents?
That we all do what we do. We preach nuts and bolts, like what really got us here and what makes us us. Just playing our style of basketball regardless. Not letting our offense affect our defense. We're a great defensive team. So just going in there with that mindset, like every possession counts. So that would be big for us.
Who is by far the funniest player on the team? Not named Jazz Massengill.
The funniest player? Now that one's hard. Wow. It would have to be between Tania and KK.
Ooh.
KK's funny, but doesn't try to be funny because she's dead serious. She's dead serious. And that's what makes it funny.
No.
You just try humor.
Yeah, and you can tell that way. You can even tell that way in how she gets on the court. She'll serve a look, and I'm like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Definitely KK, the things she say, how she acts, is because she's dead serious. Like, she's dead. Like, we had to tell her in the games, you know, when you get in ones, you know, you stare at people. She's like, what are you talking about? We're like, no, K, like, you stare at them. And we were laughing about it for like 10 minutes.
No, she really does. Last Sunday when you guys played, she had, I think, an and one, or it was the player got right up on her, and the camera shot is the low one, right? And all you see is KK staring her down.
The whole time, the whole entire time. It's hilarious. Our whole team is really funny, but I don't know. Like, KK probably got it. KK or Tanaya, one of the two.
Man, Tanaya's a firecracker. Good for her.
Yeah.
Best shoe game.
I would say Aaron.
Aaron.
Respect on
Aaron
that.
Aaron has the best shoe game. Because she loves shoes and newest drops. She know all the newest drops, all the ones that she wants. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm putting it in. Oh, I didn't get these. Oh, I finally got these. Yeah, I would say Aaron and Taylor. Taylor's coming up on it, starting to buy shoes and stuff like that. Yeah, I would say one of the two.
Taylor School. Well, who's got the best aux?
Snoop. I would say Snoop.
I feel like you can't have a nickname like that and not have the best aux.
Best aux. Yeah, Snoop. Yeah, best aux.
How's Coach Burke's daughter? She seems like the coolest little girl I've ever met.
We love Avery. We love Avery to death. Like, she's just real chill, laid back. You know, she plays with Coach Bill's daughters too. But, like, Avery, she's just that smooth, cool, you know, laid back kid. Like, you know, doesn't really do too much. You know, just around. You know, just wants to be around.
We joke all the time, like, she's going to be the youngest player ever to join the team.
She is, and she's tall. I can't wait to see when Avery gets older, because Avery is tall. Avery is tall. I can't wait.
Young baller on the rise.
I guess my last question is recommendations. Who's the next Seminole Hooper we got to get on the team, on the show? Who's the next person we got to interview on the team? Who are you nominating?
I'm nominating Taylor.
I like that. Because you know what? If we weren't able to get you, I told Steve, I said, bring Taylor.
Yeah. I'm nominating Taylor for the next person.
Transfers stick together.
Have to. We have to.
We're definitely going to work on that for sure. Dude, thank you so much for joining us. You're awesome. We're rooting for you. It's just so great to watch you guys, you know, just develop into this new team. And for you to be here is just so awesome. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed this. This is fun.
Yeah, give the team our best. Good luck this Sunday. And we'll be rooting for you.
Thank you.